Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. It has been an eventful couple of days. I'm talking about the celebrity deaths that happened. There was some that stuck out to me. The Malcolm Jamal Warner, Hulk Hogan, and Ozzy Osbourne. All of their names in gematria, if you total them up, equals 201. 201 in gematria means the Jesuit order, or order of the Jesuits. Malcolm Jamal Warner died 33 years after the last episode of The Cosby Show. It was 201 episodes. He died on the 201st day of the year. It's other combinations with his name and the dates. It's just sad. And the one thing I can't stand when people, when they go online and talk about celebrity deaths, they're always talking about how these celebrities were caught up in either suing the industry, coming out to expose the industry, and or turning their life over to Christ. All of a sudden now, Ozzy Osbourne, after biting heads off bats, all that dark satanic music that he somehow turned his life over to Christ in his last days. The same thing with Hulk Hogan. When he started talking about his faith, it was about his faith and wearing John 3:16 and saying, oh, he turned his life over to Christ, so he's good. I don't think people truly understand anything about faith. There's only but one man that I know of that Yahushua even gave a pass to turn his life over to him. It was the thief that was crucified next to him, where he told him that, I will walk you through the gates to the kingdom of heaven. And he only needed to confess the fact that he knew that he was the son of Yahuwah. But there's no one else that's getting that type of respect. No one that's getting that type of pass. There's no way in the world you can live this life the way you want to live it. And then when you get to your deathbed, or when you get to where you could be dying soon, that you start turning your life over to Christ with no works. That your faith throughout your entire life has been non-existent. Until when you get to the point where you're getting ready to die, and all of a sudden now you want to turn your life over. How? You have to put forth some type of work that'll show your faith. Hulk Hogan wasn't doing any type of works. Especially when his whole aura, his whole character came from somebody else. It was another wrestler back in the 70s and 80s that did the same, well, he didn't did the same thing, but he originated the whole brother, and I posted this on my Instagram. I forgot the guy's name, but he came out, and all the things that Hulk Hogan was doing during matches as far as promos, he got it from somebody else. So that's what Freemasons do. You ever notice that? People in the industry that blow up, they get their style, their charisma from somebody else. 50 Cent got his charisma from he got his name and his charisma some gangster or stick-up man that was from the Fort Greene Projects. That's where he got the name 50 Cent from. Same thing with Freeway and Rick Ross. They got their name from a drug dealer out in California named was Rick Ross. His name was Freeway Rick Ross. Lady Gaga got her whole aura, her whole style from another girl that supposedly committed suicide or was killed when she blew up. I mean, the story of Elton John, he got his name from a bandmate that happened to be sacrificed because I think they both got the same names. I mean, he even had this in his movie or the documentary or whatever they call it, the little docu-movie about his life. If you go back to, you can go even go through like Biggie. There was another guy in Atlanta. There was a rapper in Atlanta that already had Biggie's flow. They just duplicate. You know, obviously with Jay-Z, when he was rapping fast, he rapped fast because his mentor Jazz O rapped fast. And then when Nas came out and he slowed his tempo down, Then Jay slipped, you know, he flipped his old flow and he was starting to rhyme slower. They're not necessarily the originators. They all copy from somewhere. Some even harder than most. So the whole Hulk Hogan thing, when I saw this video about him, how he stole this guy's whole style, his whole character he stole. So all of a sudden you want me to believe that this guy can turn his life over to Christ after living as a fake, playing or I don't even know what you want to call it, a sport or a reality TV show. But it's fake. You trying to tell me that that's living for Christ? That's living for Yahusha? And now that he had like some Masonic death that, oh, he's going to automatically go to heaven? It's just, like, you know, Christians embarrassing. They embarrass us. They really do. How can the most popular religion be the narrow path? They can never answer that. How can the most popular religion observed and participated by 3 billion people be the narrow path? I mean, the more you watch this world is just, it's embarrassing, especially to our bloodline and especially what we're trying to do as far as bring this truth out. And it's just not enough of us. Sadly and truthfully, it's just not enough of us to bring out this truth where it can combat Christianity. And I think the Most High doesn't want it to be overshadowed. He wants to do it. He wants to knock it out the box. He wants to prove to the whole world what the true and perfect doctrine is. That's when I talk about in this last installment of treasures. The Most High is talking about treasures, not only in works, but also in faith and doctrine. And you know that not everybody finds treasure. I mean, if everybody got treasure, it would be no point for pirates. It would be no point for somebody trying to steal the treasure away. And that's what Satan tries to do. Satan's like a pirate. He tries to steal the treasure from those that are called to possess it. If the treasure was given out to everybody, then it's not really a treasure, is it? If it's based on quantity and not quality, that it's not worth anything. If everybody can get the faith just like that by just saying, oh, I'm about to die, hey, let me turn my life over, it really demeans and it doesn't appreciate all the sacrifice and struggle that the prophets went through. That all the stories we had in the Bible, stories of lives, real lives that went through harsher times than just WWF and having a heart attack and then putting out videos saying that you all for Christ just because you wear a John 3:16 shirt. Or yet you are automatically accepted in heaven because you chose to wake up and start suing the industry that you have been successful in but not living the way of Yahusha or Yahuwah. But you're going to go to heaven because you took on for yourself this mighty cause of exposing the industry. And people eat that up. But that's not quality, that's quantity, because we've been hearing the same stories from every time that a celebrity or the celebrity we're in love with, or that's young, that dies. We always formulate some type of hypothesis that they were fighting against the industry or to expose it, or they were trying to live for Christ. But let's go to what the real treasures are in Scripture to finish up this last installment of the episode before I had a sister on that talked about how her father was influential and being able to be sturdy in the word, sturdy in the faith. That is a treasure. Having a father, having good parents, having a mentor, having someone to keep you upright, that in itself is a treasure. Not everyone is blessed to have certain treasures, but in your life, you are given treasure. It all depends on how you look at it and how you handle it. Some people squander their treasure away. Some people take their treasures for granted. So we'll start off Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 to 44. The Son of Adam shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do transgress the Torah, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire that shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why would there be wailing and gnashing of teeth if people who know they never opened the Bible before? They shouldn't expect to go to heaven because they know they didn't live anyway close to the righteousness of Yahusha. It's people who think they should go to heaven because they are in a religion, because they believe that they've been praising and worshiping every Sunday in a church, giving their 10%, their tithes, or their debt fiat currency. They believe that's adding to the treasures in heaven, that's adding to their altar. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, Yahusha encountered two people that he tried to get to sell their possessions and come follow him, follow the treasure. Come walk this treasure map with me. And the people who had possessions on this earth didn't want to do it, and they would walk away sorrowful. That's why he says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. Like I said before, if everybody knew where this treasure was, they would be doing ascending small offerings. They would be doing new moon feast days and new moon offerings. They would be doing all of the biblical feast days. They will also be walking upright, giving alms. They would do everything that Yahusha and all the prophets before him did in scripture. They would be doing. It's hid in the field because not everybody can find that narrow path. We are blessed that we have the opportunity to see that narrow path, to find that treasure map. We are in the right field. There's people, it ain't like the field is, you know, covered by smog and fog. It's not a field that you can't get to. Some of us tripped and broke our necks to get in that and fell into that field. Some of us, you know, tripped into that field. But if you imagine this walk, it wasn't that hard to find Yahuwah and Yahusha. It was already implanted in us. We had half the map. We may not have all of it, but we had half the map that showed us what direction we needed to go. It was only through our sins that got us to sway away from the direction that we were called to. And once we found that direction, it was easy to put the other side of the map together. And we did that by faith, and we did that by works. There's people that are standing in the same field that will never find that treasure. Why? Because their minds are already gone to the fact that, like, oh, I already have, there's nothing ever happening to me. So that's the treasure. They believe that, oh, because I go to church and I say Jesus and I say God and Lord and I do Easter and I do Thanksgiving and I do May and some of them do even do Halloween. I could do all this and have fun and I have not been tested. My faith has not failed me because I do all of these things. So why should I be looking for any treasure? To them, their treasure is already out in the open. Like I said before, it's quantity, not quality. They believe their treasure is to be able to do what thou wilt and not receive any judgment because they quote unquote think they are good people. They think because they follow man's law, that equates to Yah's spiritual law. And they think, well, nothing has ever happened to me. So why should I ever change my happiness now? Why should I search for this treasure that's hidden in the field if my treasure is me living every day the way I want to? I don't need to find or seek out nothing else. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's a heart issue too. If your treasure is just on earth, of doing what you want to do, going to the places you want to go to, living life to its fullest, YOLOing it up, that's where your heart is. And your heart will eventually fail you, because if your heart is attached to the things on this earth, it will be flipped over and destroyed. Because that's what prophecy says. So why have an attachment to this world only because you only known this through the identity of what you believe is success? Why attach yourself to things that are going to be corrupted, that thieves will steal? If your heart is in these commandments and your heart is in these statutes and his ordinances and the will of Yah, then those blessings come down. That means they're not attached to a debt fiat currency. It's those blessings not attached to doing anything Satan wants you to do. It's not attached to you going to work for X amount of days or doing overtime for X amount of days. The blessings don't come when you feel like you have to do something above and beyond your ruach to get blessed. People who don't want to live by the law, statutes, commandments, they have to do above and beyond. They have to morally corrupt themselves to find that inch of success. We don't have to do that. We are called not to go through that type of trial. If some of us who are in this world, you understand already, you know what it felt like to stretch yourself morally and spiritually for just a little bit of success and then go over and above your ruach, trying to indulge in more successes because you already twisted your soul up. You twisted your ruach up. Your mentality twist up. So that leads to, if you got it by drinking, you drink more. If you got it by partying, you party more. If you got it by fornicating, you would fornicate more. If you got it by stealing, you would steal more. If you got it by being somebody you're not supposed to be, you would go above and beyond that. And that's when you get into narcissism or personality disorders or spiritual disorders that you don't think you have, that you know you have. I mean, spiritual disorders that you don't think you have, but you do. That all corrupts your judgment. Because your mind is not focused on the Most High. Your mind is not focused on Yahusha and Yahuwah. You couldn't be. If you're trying to find success in this world and then trying to put all your treasures or build up your treasures and your altar in heaven, one of those are going to conflict. One of those are going to conflict. You would have to let go of one in order to keep the other, because you can't keep both of them. You can't walk with one leg in the commandments and then one leg in this world. You can't reap the benefit and sow into both worlds and think you're going to get the same blessings. It won't work that way. It just won't. Sirach 29:11-13, lay up your treasure according to the commandments of the Most High, and it shall bring you more profit than gold. Why is that? Because if you are in these commandments and these statutes, the Most High is looking for people to spoil, judge for their unrighteousness, for their spoil to drop in your lap. I said this before. If you are somebody who's just getting into these biblical feast days and the commandments of Yah, and you struggle putting food on your plate during biblical feast days, the Most High will, of course, put you in a situation or an opportunity for you either to make more money or for somebody's resources to drop in your lap. So you can have an abundant feast day according to his desires. Not your desires, but the Most High's desires for you. If he knows that you and your heart are trying to do as big as you got it, as big as you can do it, he will make sure, little by little, increasing your success, increasing your riches, making you profitable enough to give him just due, that's exactly what he will do. If you can only afford a pebble and making your altar, the Most High, over time, after trying your faith, trying your heart and knowing your thoughts and your mind, those pebbles turn into a boulder. Those boulders turn into, you know, a whole granite wall so you can build your altar and make it as massive as you want it. The Most High knows exactly what we need. He will increase us as far as we know that we can handle being increased. That's why we go through certain trials. If some of you got $1 million right now, would you be able to control your flesh? Is which if you say, if you thinking about it now, no, you couldn't control yourself. That's why the Most High hasn't given you $1 million right now. If he tries you over a period of time and he knows in your heart that you do not want to get $1 million just to run to Vegas and gamble on blackjack to double it up, then he'll give it to you. If he knows exactly in your heart what you're going to do with that money, he will give it to you. If he knows that in your mind that you're thinking of building an altar and then doing sending smoke offers and doing biblical feast days and bringing in, you know, the poor or giving alms to people and watching over the widows and watching over the fatherless, he will put you in a position where you can get that $1 million. Because it shows forth glory to him and not to yourself. He gives us our increase for us to give him glory. So when other people around you or outside of you see this, they know you have to be blessed because you're walking the right path. They can never say, oh, he got that from gambling, or he got that from partying, or he went to Vegas last week, or he was playing cards. That's how he got it. The Most High has to remove these type of vices away from you before he increases you, so everybody knows it came from Yah himself. And from out of your mouth, you would say, hey, this came from Yah. I could not do this alone. I couldn't go on a 24-hour run in Vegas on a blackjack table and say, I got this. I couldn't say in my own smarts of gambling sports on sports teams, this is how I got my money. It can never be that answer. It always has to be, Yah did this. Yah blessed me. Lay up your treasure according to the commandments of El Elyon, and it shall bring you more profit than gold. Shut up alms in your storehouses, and it shall deliver you from all affliction. Shut up alms in your storehouses mean prepare yourself to give when it's time to give. And your heart will know. Your ruach will pull. Some of you have that little voice in your head when you walk past somebody that's homeless or walk past somebody that's begging, and your head be like, you got something in your pocket, go and give. That's the blessing. That's the blessing setting you up. Sorry, you do this, I can repay you 7 times more, which that's in scripture. It ain't coming out of my mouth. That's in scripture. That the Most High will bless you 7 times more when you give alms, especially to the poor and those who are without. So when you're like, I don't know who I'm going to give it to. Like, you know, should I just walk around with cash on me? No. It will be a situation to test your faith or to try you to see if you really for Yah. And it'll usually come at a time where you may be down and out yourself. You may be holding on to that last $10 or that last $20. And sometimes that faith will tell you, okay, what will you do when you have a little bit but somebody next to you has nothing? What will you do? Will you say, oh, I need this 20? Or will you sacrifice 10? Or will you sacrifice 5? That's how you prove your faith. Because it's something that we're supposed to do is look out for others. Yahusha did a whole parable about this when he said that when you see me, when you didn't clothe me, that you didn't check on me if I was thrown into jail, if you didn't give me food, then I will never talk to you or I'll never big you up to my Heavenly Father. And they say, well, when have we ever needed to clothe you or, you know, free you from jail or come see you? When we ever have to do that? It's like anybody you've seen, any other man that you or any other man, woman or child that you've seen that needs help, you are doing a service for me. You are helping me. These are my children. These are my people. These are my sheep. I'm showing you by the Ruach who you need to give alms to, is what he was saying. So when you on the street, when you're in public, I'm telling you, it's happened to me. I'm definitely sure it will happen to you, that you will be called to give. You will have opportunities to give. And what you do with that opportunity is on you if you want to be blessed or not. It shall fight for you against your enemies. better than a mighty shield and strong spear. Now, if your enemies are coming to spoil you or try you, the Most High will never let that happen. Why? Because you are the light walking upon this earth that's helping those who cannot help themselves. Why would the Most High remove you off this earth if you are in a perfect position to help those who cannot help themselves? He would rather shake up your enemies in front of your face, take their spoil, and then donate that spoil to those who don't have. Because you are locked into Yah. That's where the whole trust and faith comes in. That's why he tells us, do not fear. Do not fear. Why would you need a shield and spear? I'm going to make your enemies fall flat on their face and watch the coins like a Sonic, like the Sonic rings pop up out their pockets. And you take their spoil, their riches, and then you donate and give to those who don't have, fulfilling the commandments of Yahusha. Also, guaranteeing you that that receipt that you do on earth goes all the way up to your altar and your treasures and riches in heaven. Now I was thinking about this. There's really something behind those video games where, you know, you knock over an NPC character and money comes out their pockets. Of course, you're doing it in the unrighteous way. But if you thought of like the righteous way that you do play video games in, you know, they started doing like a social crediting, like Red Dead Redemption was one. You could be a good guy or you could be a bad guy. You know, you could help people and get, you know, points for it or get, you know, some aura for it. And then you could be a bad guy where, you know, you could be looked at as the bad guy. I mean, I'm talking to you men out there. I'm pretty sure you guys played Red Dead Redemption before. And, you know, you could help, you know, the side mission or the side quest was to help out whoever you can help out. Or you could just put a bullet in their head and just get that little doom doom and then move on with the game. But it comes from somewhere. So obviously, the Most High does know our actions and knows what's in our heart in us to fulfill that we really want to do all we can to repay that debt that we'll never be able to get to repay, but to repay that debt of his son dying for us to live upright, justly, and righteous. 1 Kings 3, 11 and 12, well, 11 through 15. And Elohim said unto him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Now, this is about King Solomon. King Solomon asked for money. I mean, why would he? I mean, he was king's son. He was basically going to inherit wealth, but he wasn't a child that wanted more. He was satisfied where he was at. The only thing he knew that he was lacking was understanding the Torah. And this is important. When you pray, you always pray to get understanding, to find judgment and discernment in all things. Sometimes we get caught up in our day-to-day life and our struggles, and we like, yeah, I really need this money to do this. Yeah, I really need these opportunities or this job to do that. But why not ask for discernment and understanding so you know how to operate and move yourself into an opportunity that works best for you? So you build that confidence up by leaning on Yah's understanding. That's why he wants you to ask for it. Rather than you keep asking, Yah, I want you to do this. Yah, do that. Yah, do this. Yah, who should do this? Yah, who should do that? Then you're not really proving your faith. Now you're really not sharpening your Ruach or the gifts of the Ruach. You're relying on just waiting for Yahusha and Yahuwah to do it all for yourself. I'm not saying they wouldn't put you in an opportunity to do that, but if we were to endure in these last times, we would have to go through some type of action, some type of testing of the faith to prove to ourselves that we are on the right track. We can't do that if we're sitting on the couch or relying on when Yah going to show up, when Yahusha going to knock on the door. Sometimes asking for your understanding and discernment is the opportunity. Because once he gives it to you, it's unlimited. Now, until you backslide or mess up, but it's unlimited. He doesn't withhold anything from you that you aren't prepared to handle at that moment. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like unto you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that shall not be any among the kings like unto you all your days. Now you think of all the kings that have came and went in this world. King Solomon is still the wisest, full of discernment and full of judgment into understanding the Most High. There is none like him. If you think of all the European monarchs that we have ever known in this life, none like Solomon. And then the Most High said, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. So you think the Most High don't know us? Don't know we want honor? Don't know we want riches? Don't know we want wealth? You think he doesn't know the hearts of men? He's willing to give your heart's desire. But his most important thing is you need to follow me. And it says, and if you walk in my ways to guard my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. So life, riches, and honor come from Yah. Life, riches, and honor. And somehow this is a field with hidden treasure. And all you have to do is walk in my ways, guard my statutes, my commandments. That's it. That is so simplistic. That's it. Yet this entire world and these demons and these unclean rocks have persuaded man that they don't need to do the most simplistic thing in order to get these riches, these honors, and this lengthening of days. Man said, I want to do it myself, but I want it tomorrow. And then once they get it, they never hold on to it. Then they die before their time. Like, Malcolm Jamal Warner, we watched that dude grow up. We watched him grow up to a man. We watched him struggling in high school. We watched him struggle in college. We watched him struggle when he was out of college. We felt like he was our relative. We felt like that was our brother, our older brother. We were like, damn, we must be going to go through this with our mother, with our father. Like, they were the prototype. They were the blueprint of how to handle family situations. I mean, obviously, most of our families didn't do that. You've seen the belt. It wasn't like, you get caught being drunk and they was going to trick you with some apple juice. It wasn't like, when Theo got the earring in his ear that he, survived the butt whipping, that he was just trying to find out why he got the earring. Like, most of us get an earring in our ear, we get smacked upside our head. I mean, we wanted our parents to handle our emotions and handle life situations like the Cosbys, is what I'm saying. So we imagine we watched this dude throughout his whole entire career, and then he gets his life cut short, and he has a family, and he has young children. His life is cut short at 54. And he did all of that in his earlier years. Now for what? For what? Was it really truly worth it to have your life cut off at 54? Crazy. Like, most of these celebrities do all of that to have your life cut so short because you wanted to get it fast. And getting it fast is no guarantee that you're going to hold on to it. There is no guarantee that you won't go broke. There's no guarantee that it won't get stolen from you. It's not even a guarantee that you won't be sacrificed for it. That's the tough part. And it doesn't have to do with just about celebrities, because obviously we see regular people get taken out. People went to that Jason Aldean concert in Las Vegas in front of a pyramid and got struck down by assassin bullets from their own government. People went to a Travis Scott concert and got bottlenecked into a standing area in front of the stage, and people died and people got injured. The people who died got their lives cut so short, they didn't even get a chance. Not even a chance to be married. Not even a chance to have children. All for what? For 4 hours of auto-tune rap? But people want that instant gratification. That instant success. That instant fleshly gratification. It's like people work jobs just to have recess. People can't wait to get to recess. Just to say that they went somewhere. Just to say that they did something or experienced something. Just imagine what you could have experienced more if you waited and patient and been patient and did it the right way. And did it the way Yah wanted you to do it. You could have been retired by the time you were 40. You could have been in a position where your job is vacationing. But only if you followed and guarded the Most High's ways. You could have been sent on missions, taking care of children that are without. And your vacation comes from you going to exotic places, helping unfortunate families. I had guests on this show, you know, going over in their head what opportunities work best for them when they're leaving a job or gotten fired from one or just want to do a career change. As long as they keep Yah in the forefront, they will go exactly where they will be successful. Because Yah knows that if I put him in a situation where he's successful, he will then be able to observe and participate and glorify and worship me the way I asked him to. If I put him in this wrong situation, he will choke his praise and worship for me. It will get choked because the boss may be a little bit demanding. His schedule may be too overly demanding. He won't get the opportunities to do feast days or do any offerings. So I'm going to put him in a place where he's successful because I know he's going to worship and praise me. That's how it works. Hand in hand, the worship and praise goes up, the blessings come down. And to finish the verse off, it says, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah and offered up ascending smoke offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. To all his servants, he made a feast. So this is Solomon again, looking out for his workers, looking out for those close to him, looking out for those who are unfortunate, don't have the same wealth that he has. That's the type of excitement that he felt. Just imagine, hit you with a vision, hit you with a dream, and you're so thankful to get this understanding, you're thankful to get this blessing. What do you do with that blessing? What do you do with that understanding? You go out and show the joy. You do what Yahusha commanded us to do. You don't, go out there and buy a Ferrari and go zipping back and forth to the club and to the nightlife and to the hussies. You don't do that. The first thing in your mind is like, I have to give my just due to Yahuwah. And what do you do? What is he like? What is the sweet savor that he looks for? It's the offerings. It ain't tithing in the church or tithing to a building fund. Very simplistic things. The treasure is shown in the scriptures. I don't know how people are still finding it difficult to truly find it. It's so simplistic. Yeah, I don't know why people find it like, oh, they can't find it. Because they're looking at it through vanity. They're looking at it through the world's eyes. Like, oh, I need to be successful in order to glorify God. I need to do what thy will in this way in order for me to finally glorify God. Like, I can do whatever I want to be successful, and all I got to do is walk into church, and that's the praise and worship, showing them that I care because I walked into a church. When it's really just about his commandments, guarding his ways. Now, let's talk about treasure being spoiled, especially from the wicked. Yeshayahu 33:1-6. Woe to you that spoil, and you were not spoiled, and deal treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with you. When you shall cease to spoil, you shall be spoiled. And when you shall make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with you. O Yahuwah, be gracious unto us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our Yeshua also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of yourself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. Yahuwah is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength of Yeshua. The fear of Yahuwah is his treasure. Is his treasure, the fear of Yahuwah. So easily, this hidden treasure is guarding his ways, his statutes, his commandments, and the fear of him. Important aspects of finding what this treasure is in order to get more treasure. Easy, simple, right? So we get upset and get mad when we see the wicked increasing in their riches. But really, you almost have to pity them, because where do you think they do for all these riches? And most times, they're lying about their riches. And I'm talking about black entertainment. When they be talking about these celebrities, celebrity rappers got all this money, they don't have all this money. It doesn't even make sense. How can Rick Ross live in that mansion that he lives in and hasn't put out an album since? Especially when since music has gone digital. They're not making that much money. You made money when you pushed units. Streaming is not much money. I don't know who told you differently, but it's not much money. How can you make money off streaming when you're not pushing units, where CDs are not getting manufactured and not putting cases and all that? Like, you remember the days of going to Sam Goody or that FYE store for your entertainment store and actually purchasing a CD. That's $16. The person, the artist gets, you know, whatever in their contract is, whatever cents on the dollar of each unit. That's how artists were making millions. Now, you never heard any artist right now going gold or platinum within a week like they did in the old days. I'm not talking about the 90s. You're not getting that anymore. It literally takes almost a year for somebody to go gold. So they're not making that much money. Their Freemasons are being put in somebody else's houses that they have to put forth an image. Like, every day when they wake up, they have to act. It's all an act. Before, you used to see them on stage and then they would have their personal life, because their life on stage paid for their personal life to do what they want. So now, since the life on stage is not paying for the personal life, somebody has to step in and say, okay, I'm going to finance not only your stage life, but also your personal life. That means you have to be a walking, talking puppet for me. You have to be a commercial for me 24/7, 365 days, which brings me to the whole Truman Show. How that's what people are right now. People are just commercials. I mean, obviously, you guys been on TikTok, and there's always somebody selling something. It ain't even the brand selling anything anymore. It's people buying the brand and then making a commercial about what they bought in order just to get a percentage of a link that they give out so they can buy the same outfit. It was just like the Truman Show when she was in a tense situation. She's like, oh, just buy this cocoa. This is the best cocoa. This is the best cocoa I ever tasted. And then she did the same thing with the little knives and stuff, or the lawnmower. That's what we become. We become basically the Truman Show, where we're just walking, talking commercials. Not us, but those out there that living in this world. They're trying to get this treasure, this hidden treasure that they think they don't need. They are finding treasure by being commercial puppets. It's funny when you think about it. So when Yah is talking about his treasure, all he wants is that fear. All he wants is those commandments. All he wants is those statutes. And by doing so, we will get the spoil. We will be able to spoil. Just like it says in Genesis 15 and 13 and 14. the nation in which we are afflicted by, we will be able to leave out of that nation with substance. That means we will spoil, just like the Israelites spoiled the Egyptians. How do you think they got the golden calf? How? They spoiled the Egyptians. They went up in their treasure houses and just took. Because the Egyptians dealt treacherously with the Israelites when they first started working. They told them, all right, we're going to pay you and never pay you. So they were out there working for free and never were getting paid. And that's what the Pharaoh and the chiefs told the taskmasters, like, look, watch over them and make sure they do that work. And just promise them they're going to get some financial benefit from it, but never give it to them. And then the next time they looked up, the Israelites didn't even know they were in captivity, but they were in captivity. And then they tried to separate the Israelite man from his woman by making them work harder because they found that they were overpopulating, or they were pushing past their population numbers in Goshen. They was like, damn, we need to work them harder. They are producing, and soon they're going to outnumber us. Soon they're going to have an army for themselves. So we need to separate them. We need to make sure we got to make them work harder. And that's what they tried to do. Then it came to, we have to kill the male children because we don't want them to grow. And they didn't try to do this but one time. They did it multiple times. If you read the book of Jasher, I mean, they snatched the male children out of the houses. They sent the Egyptian women, when they had their babies, they would send them into the houses of the Israelite women. And if the babies made sounds, so if the Egyptian baby called out, the other baby would know that it was a baby in the house with the Egyptian, then the Hebrew baby will call out and they will go back and tell and then get the kids thrown out. They try to throw babies in the river. Yah saved some of them. They were in the field. They were going and giving birth in the field so they wouldn't give them up to the sword. Then if the Egyptian farmers saw them in the field, tried to run them over with the oxen. Some succeeded, some did not. Then when the plague broke out on Pharaoh, he asked for every day that he was under plague, he asked for a baby a day. That's 360 some babies every day that he killed to rub their blood into his skin so he thought that the plague would go away after that. Because he knew why he was under a plague. He knew how he's under judgment. It was because of the children of Yasharel. So, like I said, man, this system and the system of America and the system of Egypt is so alike. I don't know why people are breaking their neck to uphold both systems. I really don't. When it's supposed to be spoiled. That we're supposed to be coming out of Babylon to get ready to spoil this place. That we are coming to our righteousness to live above the frequency that they want us to live under. It's going to cause us to have these blessings. Why do you think they're moving the chains to this new world order, to this Babylonian system? Because they by step by step by step, by celebrity dying, by whatever doctrine they come out, they are lowering the frequency. And once they lower people's frequency, they are easily controlled, easily manipulated, and easily destroyed. When you rise above that frequency, it can't touch you. That means you spoil it. It doesn't spoil you. That means you get the same understanding that Solomon had, or just a tiny bit of it, to know how to maneuver in this world in order to spoil it. They have back doors to this system. They do. For one of them is income tax. Now, they tell you you have to pay federal income tax, but if you actually read their laws, it's unconstitutional because they have not ratified it. There was a couple of states that had the opportunity to ratify the amendment, or what is it, the 16th Amendment of the federal income tax law. They were supposed to ratify it in like the 1900s. It was a couple of states, including Florida, that did not ratify it. And when they had a chance to ratify it, they didn't even want to go into it. So they tell you you have to pay federal income tax. They tell you that. And they scare y'all because, like, oh, we're going to hire all these, you know, IRS agents. We're going to hire all these IRS agents for what? Why would they need to hire them? Unless they were preparing for people to understand that they didn't have to pay income tax. Why do you think they hired more IRS agents? People were paying their taxes, but they knew it was slipping out, just like an IRS employee. It slipped out that he found out he didn't need to pay federal income tax, and he went to war with the IRS, with his own employers. He went to war, and he won. And all he used was the 16th Amendment was not ratified, that it was unconstitutional, that not every state agreed upon it. So we didn't need to have to pay it. He said he even brought out that there was a 1040A form that we used to get before 2018 when they discontinued it, that used to give you an assessment of what you should be paying. So they would go through your finances and they say you needed to pay this. They don't no longer do that. You know how I know? Because I used to get mine assessed. And they would say, oh, you owe $1,800. And I didn't even pay it. And they kept telling me, oh, interest is going up. And I just never paid it. And then all of a sudden, when I tried to check the IRS to pay it because I had some funds to pay it, it disappeared. Both of them. Matter of fact, I didn't pay 2020, and I didn't pay 2022 or 23. And I owed like $2,000 on one and $1,000 on the other. And I was paying it down. And all of a sudden, I said, you know, I ain't paying nothing. I was like, this is stupid. I'm already paying federal and state. Why do I need to pay off top of the money that's already being taxed? So I just didn't pay. All of a sudden, I was getting notices. You got to pay. Interest is going up. And all of a sudden, I checked the IRS to pay it. It was completely wiped out and gone. So like I said, they get you by fear. But when you fear Yahuwah, certain understanding and knowledge comes into fruition for you, and you'll be able to rest on the fact that it is the truth and not fear. And you make your moves that way. Now, if I got to go to battle with these people, so be it. But I don't think they would want that out. Because if one guy could beat it and another woman beat it, and the guy who worked for the IRS, he was doing the taxes for a guy in California who owned a boating business. He beat it. They don't want you to know it's getting out, that you don't have to pay federal income tax. They don't want that to get out. That's why they take the tax out of your check when you get it. If they knew you didn't have to pay federal income tax, they would just say, all right, just let us know when you're going to give us that federal and state. Just let us know. They wouldn't just be taking tax like they take it now. So the reason why they're hiring the 87,000 IRS agents, because they want to do a fear campaign where they knock on your door and ask you why you ain't paying your taxes. That's what they really want. And if the mobsters and the Italians back in that day were actually smart, which they weren't smart, if you know any good mafia documentary, they tell you that these people were not smart. They weren't educated. I mean, they were school dropouts. I'm not talking about dropped out in high school. These kids dropped out in like the fourth or fifth grade and just were on the street. So they weren't educated. So they were getting beat by the IRS because they weren't claiming taxes. They weren't paying their federal and state. But if they even did that, they would understand they didn't have to pay income tax because of the 16th Amendment not being ratified. So Al Capone got syphilis in jail all those years, mangling his brain because he didn't want to pay IRS money when he could just paid, you know, some cheap federal and state, and then kept his income. If you know the story about Al Capone, I mean, all that murdering he did, and he got caught by the IRS. So that's what it means when he's like, get ready for this nation to be spoiled. It has to be spoiled. The economic collapse is going to come. So you might as well prepare your righteousness, prepare your uprightness to get ready to receive when this nation gets spoiled. Because there's going to be people next to you foreclosing. Right now, Florida is like the number three or close to the top three of foreclosures. And this is 2023. So if wicked people are not being able to keep their houses, this is where you, in your righteousness, step on in and get something, I don't know, like a mansion, something above your means that you will be able to get because of the foreclosure prices. And who will be able to hide certain properties so you get the property you want? Yahuwah. Why? Because he knows that if I put you in this house, you're going to give me all the ascending smoke offerings I deserve. You're going to give me all the drink offerings I deserve. You're going to build me a great altar when I put you into this house. So I'm going to hide this house after it's been foreclosed so you're getting ready to move in. I'm telling you, I have to think bigger than what you've been thinking. You have to understand there are connections and things that have to be moved. I mean, positions have to be moved. People have to be moved. Businesses have to be moved. Things have to go awry for your blessings to come up. That's why it's taking a substantial amount of time. It's not like, oh, I want this house, let me get it tomorrow. Things have to be moved when it comes with Yah. It has to be moved so it stays permanent. Well, if you do it fast, then there's always some fraud attached to it. And the Most High is not going to work in fraud. So the way it moves gently, where it moves softly, where it moves progressively, is because Yah is in control. And at the same time, he's getting ready to put you in your blessing, putting you in your treasure. You are already stable in your faith. You're already ready to receive the blessing and not get rid of it. So once he puts you in there, there ain't no backsliding for you. There is no going back to smoking weed for you. There is no going back to the bar drinking for you once you're in the blessings that he has worked to provide for you. That's why it takes longer for some of our blessings, because it's all based on really if you're ready to give up your vices, if you're really ready to give up your own way. You destroy yourself. You take longer for the blessing because you're not prepared to receive it and prepared to hold on to it. So people get upset and pissy. Oh, I want this and I want that. And I'm sick of waiting for Yah. I'm sick of waiting for this. That's because you're not ready to receive the blessing. So once you will get it, you will corrupt it. You'll forget that you asked Yah for it. And you think it came from your movement. You think it came from your actions and your brain. Your own ways of doing things. And the Most High is not going to push you into a situation where you confuse his blessings with your power. Trust me on that one. You will never be able to say if it came from Yah, it was because of you. He's going to make sure of that too. He's not going to give you anything for you to be confused and thinking, oh, I got this because I was smart. I got this because I'm well known in this city or I'm well known in this town. That's how I got it. No, no, no. It's none of that. So if you got that haughtiness in you, if you got that arrogancy in you, if you got that pride and ego in you, you aren't going to get the blessings that you deserve because of that. Shoot, gathering the spoil up like a caterpillar means you gathering it slowly. Gathering it slowly. Little by little are you gathering it. You're not getting it all at once. He didn't say gather it like a fox. He didn't say gather it like a lion, like a tiger, like a cheetah. Nah, like a caterpillar. And that caterpillar moves slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Under the radar. Let's talk about treasures lost. Enoch 94, 7 through 11. Woe to those who build up their houses with crime. For from their very foundations shall their houses be demolished, and by the sword shall they fall. Those too who acquire gold and silver shall justly and suddenly perish. Woe to you who are rich, for in your riches have you trusted, but from your riches you shall be removed, because you have not remembered El Elyon in the days of your prosperity, which is all these other nations. All of these other nations have been able to get by getting through the sword, through fraud, and through murder. And they got it because of our curses. The reason why this nation became rich was because of our free labor. Because we were sold like property. That's how this nation got rich. You want to get rich? Slave labor. That's how you get rich. That's the foundation of riches. All these oil barons, these rubber barons, these steel barons, they got their money through plantation wealth and were able to invest in it early on. That's how they got their money, their inheritance, those passed down, that old money that we call it. They got it through slavery. This goes all the way back to the Roman Catholic Church, and the European monarchies through slavery. And they have never blessed the Most High for getting all this wealth based on our wickedness and disobedience. So because of that, it will turn over where we, through our righteousness and obedience, will be taken from them and they will be without. That's why this world is not this world is not going to be completely destroyed. It's starting over, and now we're reversing the curses. Now, since we are the firstborn, it's time for the secondborn. Now it's time for even the redheaded stepchild. It's time for them now. It's time for them to feel it through generations. It ain't going to be a hot minute and then we on to heaven. No, no, no. It's going to be some years they have to go through to purge out their bloodlines, just like we had to purge out our bloodline. You have committed blasphemy and iniquity and are destined to the day of infusion of blood, to the day of darkness, and to the day of the great judgment. This I will declare and point out to you, that he who created you will destroy you. When you fall, he will not show you mercy, but your creator will rejoice in your destruction. Sounds like Proverbs 1:26 all the way down to 30 to me. That's what it sounds like to me. When you fall, he will not show you mercy, but your creator will rejoice in your destruction. Proverbs 1:26, like, I will laugh, I will mock you when calamity comes, because you did not abide by the truth, but in iniquity and wickedness. I will not spare you. I will not turn. You will seek me early, but you will not find me. So what Enoch was talking about, exactly what is talked about in Proverbs 1:26. He will rejoice in your destruction. Let those then who shall be righteous among you in those days detest sinners and the wicked. You might as well start separating yourself from the wicked and from sinners. Just because you're close to them or friends with them or their family members, still wicked if they are transgressing the Torah. You better start putting a dividing line between them. They will not help you in the end times. They will not help you find Yahuwah or that hidden treasure. They will not. Now, mind you, through certain events, they will come to you and say, okay, now I want to follow you. Now I want to see, now I believe. Then you do your due diligence. Then you open up your heart and do exactly what Yahuwah and Yahusha has called you to do. But you need to start having that dividing line, that when it really all goes down, you're not going to be able to save some of these people. They had chances to listen to you. They had chances to open up the book. They had chances to get right. Just like the days of Noah, for 125 years, they had time. Yah gave them time. And the only reason why they had time was because Enoch's descendants had to die off. So not only did Yah bless Enoch and his descendants with a little length of days so they would never see destruction, that's where the 125 years came from. He's like, I'm going to give you 125 years. And in that 125 years, Enoch's going to come up with me. I'm going to make sure his descendants die off so they'll never see destruction, because they have seen righteousness and they have walked uprightly and justly. So I'm not going to allow them to feel the rain. I'm not going to allow them to have to scurry and try to be outside the boat and not get in, or get outside the ark and not get in. No, I'm going to make sure they have a nice long life. And once they pass on, then I'm going to send the rain. And it'll be like that in the last days. I guarantee you. We are all building our ark. We're building our ark. We're getting ready. We are getting ready. Plank by plank, nail by nail, brick by brick. We're getting ready for our respective arks and our respective households. So when that rain coming, we can't do nothing but laugh and smile, because we knew this time was coming. People who are outside of us do not know that time is coming. Because like I said before, the frequency is getting so low that is causing spiritual blindness. That it's more about vanity than it is about faith. It's more about performative religion than it is about performing law, statutes, commandments, and the fear of Yah. Enoch 100, 1 through 5. In those days, the angels shall descend into the places of concealment and gather together in one spot all that have assisted in crime. In that day shall the Most High rise up to execute the great judgment upon all sinners and to commit the guardianship of all the righteous and holy to the holy angels, that they may protect them as the apple of an eye until every evil and every crime be annihilated. Whether or not the righteous sleep securely, wise men shall then truly perceive, and the sons of the earth shall understand every word of that sefer, knowing that their riches cannot save them in the ruin of their crimes. So woe to you sinners, when you shall be afflicted on account of the righteous in the day of the great trouble, shall be burnt in the fire and be recompensed according to your deeds. So if the wicked are going to be rewarded for their deeds, how much more are we going to be rewarded for our deeds? And these weak Christians, these weak street preaching Christians talking about, oh, it's a works doctrine. It ain't about a works doctrine. It's about doing the deed and the will of the Most High, which is work. That is how we perfect our faith. And it's really ignorant for these street preachers talk about, oh, it's a works doctrine. Then what are you doing? Are you not performing the work of your religion by speaking on the street? That is the work. That's your faith. Your faith is in a religion and you're doing the work of that religion. You're not in your house sitting on the couch. You're street preaching. So the same thing, we are called to do certain works. You and your religion are called to do certain works, except your works are not going to profit you. And lastly, the real treasure, Mattiyahu 20, 28. Even as the Son of Adam came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, what is a ransom? Is it not treasure? No one ransoms away clay, pennies, nickels and dimes. What is the ransom? It is the treasure. And what is What has Yahushua done? He has given up his life for us to find this eternal treasure. To find this eternal treasure. And the only way you can find it is if you walk that narrow path to that treasure. And how is it hid? It's hid because if you just do the commandments and straighten up your walk, by following the commandments, doing the will of the Most High, you eventually will follow this. You will eventually find this treasure. It's not dug so far down in a hole where you can't get to it. You don't need any special instrument, no special drill, no special tool to get to this treasure. It's simply fear and obedience. And leaving the cares of this world and its riches and its wealth behind. Because what's in heaven, it got to be more immaculate than what's here on this earth. Y'all think about that.